He determined me to Exodus chapter 32. Primarily, I have for the last several weeks been ministering out of verse 26. But this morning, I want to look at what preceded verse 26. What were the conditions and what was going on that would cause Moses to ask that question? Who was on the Lord's side? A lot of times when we read the scripture, and we seek to get an interpretation of scripture and what's said, we need to know not only what's said, we know the Bible tells us what's being said, but we need to know why it was being said and to whom it was being said. So, and starting at verse 1 in Exodus chapter 32, it says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.'" And those, I'm going to read all the way to verse 9, but those two verses are a sermon. Those two verses should keep your spirit and your mind occupied for the remainder of the time that we have here. I was meditating on the thing, the fact that I thank God for the internet. I thank God for social media. You know, it has its place. Facebook, Instagram, you know, whatever else is out there. But the one thing we got to be mindful of, that even though there's a benefit to it, there's a cost to it. What media, social media has done, you could put it this way, it's given everyone not only a voice, but even a platform. And I'm talking about in the church now. I'm not even dealing with the world. I'm talking about the church. The problem with that is that if the church, the body of Christ, is not saying the same thing, and people are listening to, whoever now, whoever has got their video out there, they got their scripture out there, they got their what they think is their revelation, they put it out there, and some people are not able to discern the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. I'm not saying that when people put out some things that really don't make too much scriptural sense, that they are false prophets or false this or false that. But some people are given over to a spirit of error, because God does everything decently and in order. I said decently and in order. He does everything that way. Even when he dealt with man, when Adam fell, God dealt with man in order. He came to the man first, didn't go to the woman. The woman had Eve. Her name was not Eve. I said after the fall, she was called the woman. She was Adam's husband. Excuse me, wife. I don't know where I got that from. She was Adam's wife, and she fell, but God held Adam responsible. Why? Because it was God that told Adam that. He gave Adam the responsibility to keep the garden. That means he had the authority to not let the serpent talk to his wife or his family, et cetera, et cetera. And for whatever reason, he did not exercise that authority. And because he didn't exercise his authority, or you could put it this way, he didn't take the responsibility that he had, that God gave him, then did not give it to his wife, did not give it to the woman, he gave it to him. That mankind was plunged into a sinful nature that manifested in sinful acts. This is the history lesson. It's in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and so on. The good news is that God had a remedy in place, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I've talked about it many times. I'm not going to preach on it today. That the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Meaning God, that there was a seed coming forth out of the woman. We know that seed, we call it a virgin birth, without the use of a man, that the Messiah, Jesus, the Christ, that word Christ means Messiah, the chosen one, God, you know, Emmanuel, it's not a Christmas message, it is not a Christmas name, it's not a Christmas title. Emmanuel means God with us, that God would be with mankind through the seed of the woman. The seed being the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, let me get back to this, because I got a lot that I want to say. I'm going to read this again. So then when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, key word there, key words rather, number one word, when the people saw, they didn't see with their spirit, they only went by the seeing of the natural eye. I'm going to get to that in a minute. That Moses delayed. Now, what I'm going to get to later on in this is that I want to talk about Jesus' return, because there the mindset of people hadn't changed. Where is Jesus? Well, you keep saying Jesus is going to come back. Well, he hasn't come back yet. And so the mindset of people is that because Jesus seemingly is delayed, they will go and make another God. All this leads up to verse 26. Who's on the Lord's side? So saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain. The people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, here we go again, they saw, and then they said, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. They saw, and they said to him, come, and here, watch this now, make us gods that shall go before us, not make us a god, because there's only one God. They said, make us God. You need to underline, pink out, circle, saw, delayed, said, and gods. I believe this, if you permit me, is what's going on in this world today. For as it was with this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, now Aaron had a measure of responsibility. He had a measure of authority. But he yielded. Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it, notice now, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then said, this is your God. Whoa, you're talking about life and death in the power of the tongue? Aaron proclaimed, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Well, it's a whole lot here. I hope y'all getting this. So when Moses saw it, when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is the feast of the Lord. Then they rose early the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Sounds like 2020. And the Lord said to Moses, go get down. And then God makes this, if you read this, it can go right by you. For your people. That should stand out. God had now already rejected them as his people. The Lord said to Moses, go get down, for your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. God, there was this measure. Yes, see, I said this to someone a couple days ago. His mercy endures forever does not mean it's available forever. I'm going to say that again. We know God's mercy endures forever, but that does not mean it's available forever. When I was talking about what I just said, we were talking about the book of Revelation and the mark of the beast. And I said that the Bible says, whosoever shall take that mark of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the anti-God, the anti-Messiah, the false Messiah, the false God, the false this, the false that, then salvation, the scripture tells us, but anyone who takes the mark of the beast, that salvation would no longer be available if they took that mark, meaning his mercy endures forever. But if you take the mark of the beast, the mark of the Antichrist, if you take the mark of this man, the Bible calls of sin, God says salvation is no longer available. Here we're seeing the same thing. For you people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshiped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. Indeed, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, I want to translate all that now into verse 26. Moses stood in the gate of the camp. This is what led up to this moment. And said and asked, who is on the Lord's side? And to meet the Lord's side, as I said last Sunday, is not just saying I'm on the Lord's side, but you got to live in such a way that demonstrates you're on the Lord's side. Now, let me go all the way back up to these preceding verses because there's a whole lot there. What I want you to see first is that because they thought Moses was delayed, they decided to take matters into their own hands. Now, let's look at today because I asked God this question this morning. Could it be that what's going on today, the violence in the streets, you name it, whether it's rogue police, vigilantes, Antifa, BLM, et cetera, could these things be other gods that people are turning to because they feel like, God, you have delayed Jesus' return, so we're going to now turn to other gods, whether it be a politician, whether you be a preacher, whether it be a this, or whether it be a that, whether it be a false Messiah, whether it be a false prophet. But I'm going to say some things that you're going to have, I hope you can grasp this morning. This whole Black Lives Matter thing, you need to do your research. You need to, don't let emotion take you. Don't let the culture define for you, because there's a huge difference between the Black Lives Matter movement and the Black Lives Matter organization. I don't have time to go into it. You know, it's all on the internet. I mean, just do your research. Study to show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved by God. The point I'm trying to make is this. Some people will make their culture, their race, their gender, their religion, and I'm not religious, I'm born again. their religion, they'll make those things their God because in their heart and in their mind, they feel like God has delayed his coming, or God has delayed his dealing with, or God has delayed his judgment. And because of that, they go and worship and they create and they make other gods. We, I know probably most of the people are on the line right now are probably African-American. It may be some others, but probably the majority probably are African-American. We have to make sure that we don't worship other gods. And I'm talking about, and listen now, I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about ministers of the gospel who are African-American. I'm talking about deacons who are African-American. I'm talking about, you name it, that we don't pursue, we don't put our culture and our emotions and a movement and an organization above who God is. Because God is our source. God is our protector. God is the one to bring. He has healing in his wings. It's God who is the provider of all things. It's God who, every good and perfect gift comes from above. That comes from God. Man, mankind. He uses mankind, but he's God. And mankind would never rise up to the level, meaning we would never be a God, big G. I know Jesus said, ye are gods, but understand something. We're not the creators. God is the creator of all things. And we have to be sure, and we have to make sure that we're not elevating other things. You could almost ask yourself this question, that we are not creating golden calves in our own, a molten calf in our own, of our own, and elevating that and make that the number one thing that we love and the number one thing that we serve and the number one thing that we give ourselves in sacrifice over to, especially politics. And I know some folks are not supposed to discuss politics in church. Well, I know what I'm supposed to talk about and what I'm not supposed to talk about. And I don't endorse any person or party. The only thing I endorse is the Bible. And that's the only thing I'm going to endorse. So I'm not worshiping one party over the other. I'm not worshiping one person over the other. Because I only worship God. But mankind, we as a people, we can elevate other people who look like us, as they say, and make them a god, make a molten calf in our heart and in our mind, making them a god unto us, or not just a god, but making them gods, plural, to us, instead of acknowledging and worshiping the living God. That's the point I'm trying to make out of all this. That's why Moses asked that question. Who's on the Lord's side? In other words, if you're on the Lord's side, then you'll have no other gods before him. You'll have no other gods, no other God before him. He is God, and God is God all by himself. God wants us to worship him, but the reality is this. Every one of us, we are created to worship. Every human being should be a worshiper of God. We're created in his image and in his likeness. And I mean, this makes sense so basic and so elemental. Pastor, no, I want something deep. Well, if you look at the condition of the world don't need deep. The world needs the simple truth of God's word. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever will call on him, whosoever will believe on him, whosoever will repent and confess the Lord Jesus Christ will be born again and would be saved. That's the simple truth of the gospel. We have cliches that we use. For God so loved the world. God loves me, this I know because the Bible tells me so. Now, that's not a scripture, but it's a truth. And I know that God loves me because God has declared in his word that he loves me. And because God has declared it and decreed it, therefore I know it, I live by it, and I act on it. So I want to challenge us during this pandemic, during this political storm that we're in, and not to get caught up in the flesh, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against powers of wickedness, spiritual powers in high places, demonic powers and in high places, the forces of evil, the forces of darkness. We wrestle against those things. Don't wrestle against people. Don't elevate people to the point that they become a god in their life and you find yourself wrestling with them and not the forces that you need to be wrestling with. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, I want to read out of this. This is the 10 virgins spoken of in the Gospel of Matthew. And we need to see that 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Now, I know all of us want to be on the wise side. I know I do. Half were wise, but half were foolish. But they were all virgins. Okay, let me read. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now listen to what the foolish said and did. Those who were foolish took their lamp and took no oil with them. Oil represents the anointing. Oil represents the oil being poured from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. The oil representing the Holy Spirit. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while, now, here's what I'm going to get to, verse 5. But while the bridegroom was delayed, it's the same thing we see in Exodus 32. The people saw that Moses was delayed, and they started to act on their own and create their own gods. When the bridegroom, let me read this again. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. See, Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back soon, and he's coming back sudden. Don't think that Jesus hasn't come back because he's delayed. That's the point I want to make to you this morning. God, he's not delayed. He's just awaiting for an appointed time, for an appointed season that only the Father knows. Even the Son doesn't know that. Only the Father knows the appointed time. We have to discern the times and the seasons. We have to judge what's going on in the earth and the fruit that's in people's lives or the lack of fruit that's in people's lives. But only God knows the day of the hour. On reverse, verse 5 again. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Wow. Can you understand when the point that's trying to be made here? See, that there comes a time. I'll say it again. His mercy endures forever, but that doesn't mean it's available forever. And the foolish said to the wise, why? Because their oil had run out. They didn't have any. They didn't bother to use the bring the oil with them. Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. What's going to take place in the end? The foolish, those who were not dedicated or committed to God the way that they should be, they're going to seek to do what? They're going to seek to get the anointing, or they're going to make this attempt to live off those who are wise. They're going to make an attempt to live off their relationship, their anointing, their revelation, their understanding. The point I'm trying to make is you can't live off somebody else's anointing. Many people today, because we have Bible teaching all over the place. I mean, on television 24 hours a day, on the radio 24 hours a day, on the internet, internet, social media, Facebook, and all this stuff. The gospel is being preached 24 hours a day. And yet, where's the revival? Where is where are the masses coming into the kingdom? Well, maybe because there are some in the church who are foolish and not wise. And in that end time, in that end day, because they think, just like the Israelites thought Moses ways delayed, they think Jesus is delayed. And there's coming a time when that mercy and grace that God extends that is eternal by itself, meaning it never ends, but it's not available. Because what is the in Revelation? It talks about, once again, the great tribulation period. One of the things it states in that in the book of Revelation is this: what's going to hinder people, and why they're going to take that mark? Well, they're going to take the mark of the beast. They're going to take the mark of the Antichrist. They're going to take the mark of the anti-Messiah. They're going to take the mark of the false prophet. They're going to take the mark of a false god. The Bible says it's because they won't be able to buy or sell. Now, most of us would think it'll be some great spiritual reason why people would take. No, they won't be able to buy or sell. That's the thing that the devil's going to use in this earth to get people. Now, if you're not a strong Christian, if you're not a strong believer, if the Word of God is, if you're not feeding yourself the Word of God every single day, don't, if you're a baby Christian, if you're newborn, meaning you're just born again, see, the scripture defines the baby Christian two ways: a newborn believer and someone who is unskillful in the Word. Now, which one are you? Now, no one's going to fault a baby for not eating a steak, because the baby can't eat a steak. It has no teeth. It cannot chew it. But there comes a time in your Christian life, see, that you need to become skillful in the Word. The same way you're skillful in your job. If you're a carpenter, you're skilled. You're a mechanic, you're skilled. If you're a doctor, you're skilled. If you're a lawyer, you're skilled. If you're a teacher, you go to school, you go to college, you get your master's, you get your doctorate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you get experience. After you get all that education, then you get experience so that you become perfected in what you do. And you become skilled in what you do. Something, meaning there are things that you know because you've done it so long and you've been trained well that you do automatically. You don't have to think about it. In sports, they call it muscle memory. That you get into the gym and you work at it. You work out 3, 4, 5 hours, sometimes every day. I look at the regimen of some of these football players and basketball players and hockey players and baseball players. I mean, especially even during the off season. Notice it's the off season. And even during the off season, they get up, they work out in the morning, they eat lunch or take a nap, go back and work out again in the evening. Why? Because they want to build that muscle memory so that when things happen in the game, they don't have to think about it. They just do what they know they're supposed to do. They do the right thing because it's in them. The Word of God is no different. We need muscle memory in the Word. We need to be so one with God's Word and so in tuned with God's Word that we don't have to necessarily think about when we are attacked, when things come against us, or we just need to pray about something, need to pray for somebody. We don't have to sit here and think, well, God, what do I need to say, or how do I need to say it, or God, are you listening? No, you automatically, the scripture that this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have. That's engraved in me now. That's engraved. I can quote that now. I don't have that on my notes. I don't have that on my tablet screen, you know, but I know this is the confidence I have in God. I got the muscle memory in my spirit. This is the confidence I have in God, that if I ask anything according to his will, I know that he, number one, I know that he hears me. Number two, and because he hears me, I know that I have. And that's, and this is going to sound really, 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 for some folk, really weird. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. I have it, whether I live to see it or not. He said, wait a minute, that don't make any sense. It's not supposed to make sense. It's supposed to be faith. The Old Testament prophets, you read the prophecies of Daniel and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and so forth, and you understand there's one thing that they all got the same M.O. That is, they didn't live to see many of the prophecies that they prophesied about, the coming Messiah, when he would come, how he would die, Daniel. I mean, he had all the Daniel 7 weeks and so forth. Daniel wasn't when the baby was born in the manger and the wise men came. Daniel was not here. He wasn't on his earth then. He prophesied it, but he never saw it. But he believed it, and because he was a man, a young man of faith, because he's a young man of faith, and he acted on what he believed, not what he saw. You cannot act off of what you see. You cannot be driven by what you see. It's what you believe. And whether Jesus, he didn't come yesterday, and I don't see him yet, and I got my doubts if he's going to come tomorrow, therefore he's delayed, therefore I'm going to take matters into my own hands. No, you're not. God's not called you to take matters into your own hand. He has called us to be proclaimers, for we have, because we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. This is my muscle memory talking. We've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Not by what we see, we overcome by the word. And whether I physically, in this thing called time, whether I live to see it or not, the word is still forever settled. It's a done deal. It is not God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. If God said it, and whether I believe it or not, whether my family believes it or not, whether the people I work with believe it or not, whether the world believes it or not, the reality is, it's still settled. If I don't live to see it, that does not mean I don't speak life into my children or I don't speak life to my grandchildren. I may not be around to see it all, but that's okay because I'm not going after other gods. I'm not going to make a molten calf, a golden calf, a calf made out of gold, which represents money. I'm not going to worship a god of money. I'm not going to worship a god of flesh. I'm not going to worship a god of this. I'm not going to worship a god of that. I'm not looking for another Messiah. I am not going to preach another gospel. You read Galatians and Jude, and God addresses those things. You read 1st, 2nd John, and 3rd John, the epistles of John. You read the gospel of John books like the book that Jehovah's Witnesses use, they don't like the Gospel of John. They don't like the Epistles of John because, see, John spoke of the deity of Jesus, that Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Jesus is God wrapped in flesh. He's not fleshly, meaning he didn't live by the dictates of his flesh, but he came to earth in a flesh form so that he could redeem us. And those cults, those religious institutions, whatever we want to call them, they deny the fact that Jesus is God. They'll deny. Islam will mention, will talk about Jesus in the Quran, but they don't acknowledge Jesus as God. I'm saying, and you should be saying as a believer, Jesus is God. The God we serve manifested in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Godhead. We see that And even in Genesis, where the Bible says, Derek Prince, he did a teaching called the Secret Council of the Godhead. And in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, God said, let us go and let us make man in our image. See, it wasn't singular. It wasn't God saying, let me go. God said, let us go. That implies more than one, meaning God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in council with one another made the decision that we should be here.